This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. A crypto hoax causes a Kansas bank to fail. The downstream implications of these fraud schemes are just huge. This one seems to be a pretty big one.
It really was. And there's a man named Shan Haynes. He was the president of the bank, and he's now serving a 24-year term in prison and wishes that he had listened to our show when we've talked many times about crypto hoaxes. But here's the situation. This is a guy that you'd be inclined to trust. He was a farmer. He was a banker, a member of the board of the American Bankers Association, chairman of the Kansas Bankers Association, testified once on Capitol Hill on agricultural issues, successfully expanded the bank, a family man, had three daughters, churchgoer, treasurer of his church, chairman of the local investment club, good-looking guy, well-polished, successful banker, and he got hooked on a crypto fraud, started on the internet, and started out with investment advice. Here's a way that you can invest some money in cryptocurrency. Well, he started investing in cryptocurrency. And initially, he was actually making cryptocurrency investments, being coached by some people in Australia and Hong Kong, and made some money. So things were looking good. And then once he got used to it, once he started seeing the money increase, they said, you know, there's a new platform in Hong Kong that has less expenses. So let's use that Hong Kong platform. So he moved the crypto wallet to Hong Kong, and then it got worse and worse. On paper, he was making money. He was trading. Suddenly, he was going from, he was already rich. He had a nice income, nice family. You know, two of his girls had already gone through college, had one left. Nice savings for that. Good salary as bank president. But it seemed like it was free money, and he was making millions. And as the millions increased, it just got better and better. And they said, look, there's a little bit of a glitch. We need some more money to unfreeze this account. It's been held up by some Hong Kong tax authorities. Well, he didn't have any more money. He'd invested, in theory, everything that he had in his investment account. So he took money from his church treasury account. Needed a little more money. He took money from the investment club that he was treasurer of. Needed a little more money, he took his daughter's college savings. Needed some more, and he took it from the bank. Started wiring money from the bank and the millions. And banks have what are called correspondent banks. We have lines of credit to handle influxes of cash. And, you know, on any given day, you can have millions run through a bank. So the numbers can be pretty big. The difference is that his bank, unlike ours, they did not have controls, and the CEO could pretty much authorize anything. Now, that couldn't happen here. I don't think it could happen with any of the banks I'm familiar with in Louisiana. But in his bank, small town, everybody trusted him. He wired money and wired essentially all the free cash the bank had. Then he wired money that the bank borrowed. Yeah, no, it just keeps getting worse. He wired all the cash, then all the money they could borrow. Then he went to one of his friends and said, look, you know, I've got an account that's worth $43 million, but I need $12 million to unfreeze it. And if you'll lend me that $12 million, I'll give you $1 million. And the guy said, I don't even know what you're talking about. This doesn't make any sense. If you have $43 million in Hong Kong, get on a plane and go to Hong Kong. Get a translator and get a cashier's check. You don't need to send more money. You're being scammed. And until the very end, he didn't realize it. And the very end was the fraud was exposed. The bank closed. All the investors lost their investments. He obviously had to confess to his wife and his friends that he had stolen the church's money, the investment club's money, the bank's money, the children's college, his daughter's college savings account. And until a week or so before the thing all wrapped up, he still thought he had $43 million overseas. He literally got on a plane once and flew to Perth to talk to the alleged perpetrators. Of course, they were no-shows. But his investment in cryptocurrency turned into a complete failure, and the town of Elkhart lost its only independent bank because of this.
Do the state regulations in Kansas change as a result of this? I mean, that's
not really, but I think the biggest thing that will change is the Kansas bank authorities will insist that every bank have limits on what one single person can wire, which they should have. I mean, that's just good banking.
Right.
We had those limits long before crypto came about, because you don't want one person to be in that situation. You know, the nightmare scenario is one person either gets addicted to something, you know, gambling, drugs, et cetera, or has a family member kidnapped, and if they have access to large amounts of money, they wire it out. And you just can't risk a financial institution with one person's instability, because, as I say, it could be an addiction, it could be a kidnapping, it could be like this case where he was trapped in a very sophisticated fraud. They had fraudsters in Hong Kong, fraudsters in Australia, and they were working him and playing him like a violin. And he thought he was getting richer and richer. And, I mean, when you listen, it's hard to imagine, well, if I have that much money, why do I need to send more? But right. You get wrapped into this world of thinking that it's all real, and that if you just send a little bit more, you'll get it all back. And that's what he told his bank board the week before the bank failed. Look, I know we've messed up, but I'm going to make it right. I've got the money. We're going to take care of it, and there'll be a lot left over.
Well, the irony here is, had he stayed with the first processing agency he was with, he probably would have the money, right?
Yeah, well, if he'd stayed, the first one was in the U.S. It was U.S.-based crypto exchange. And what the crooks were doing was faking his gains. And so they were making it look like he was making money. So at a low level, you know, it looked good. Yeah, and at that point, he'd had the good sense to say, you know what, I'm taking my money off the table. Or I'm keeping it all in a local exchange that I control. He would have been far, far better off. But yeah. as soon as they tricked him into going to the overseas exchange, you know, he was done.
All right, we're going to get to another break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, we'll talk about the German election and its consequences. Friedrich Merz is the new chancellor of Germany. We'll find out about him. And we'll also talk about the economics of Mardi Gras. Stay with us. We'll be right back.